All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles, episode number 69. It's 2 days in a row we are coming at you in it. We had to do it. I'm getting all the alerts, as you can tell. I'm recording from my phone because there's a thunderstorm out by me, and all the Toilets to Titles alerts just came up on my phone, so I had to swipe them out. It's very convenient, though, if I'm in the mood to watch something and it pops up. That's why you should be subscribed, and you should hit that little bell signal, because when we go live, you know, it lets you know. But anyway, coming to you live today, there's a lot of NFL news, and we figured we're going to do a weekly episode on Sundays now to recap all the NFL news. We're going to get the whole crew out here, and we're going to show a bit of our fandom. All right, it's not just fantasy discussion on Sundays. It is NFL fandom, as you can tell. If you look around the room, we got some gear on. We got some Colts fans. We got some Cowboys fans, some Giants fans. We got the number one Broncos fan right next to the Raiders fan. So this is NFL discussion. Just to let you know who is with me this evening, as always, in the top corner over there, Justin Stevens, my co-host at JustinFF_Justin. What's cooking?
Hey, not a lot, man. I'm looking forward to the show. This is something different, something a little spicy. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
A little spicy. Right next to Justin is the Frito Bandito himself, Mr. I am moving up in the world. Rich, how are we doing today?
Running, and just trying to catch my breath. Came home to get some rest, and what else would I do? Just go hang out with the fellas.
Man, hang out with the fellas. He had to take a little time from his photo shoots, getting ready for the Toilets to Titles 2022 calendar. So we really appreciate that, Rich. We really appreciate you giving some of your time. Next to him is the number one Broncos fan right above me, Mike D. at Dirty Jobs. Mike, what's cooking?
What's happening, man? Not much. Just another sunny, warm day in Florida. No lightning, thank God, down here. We definitely got our fair share of it over the past month, though. So I feel for you, man. That stuff is crazy, scary, no fun. But I'm excited to talk some news, man. Talk some football.
Oh, yeah. I've been, like, talking about Florida a lot. We're planning our Disney Universal trip. So I've been daydreaming about Florida the last few days. Maybe I went ahead and, like, wished a little bit of Florida on the way up here and got these thunderstorms. So wishful thinking. What wasn't too good for me.
But, there you go. Hey, you'll have to hit me up when you do that. I'm pretty close to there. So
definitely. It's December, man. We'll be out there in December. So we'll be, luckily we're working together now. So we'll be in discussion. I will let you know. Maybe we can bump into each other.
There you go.
All right. And then next to me, I'm going to skip over one guy because I'm going to give him a big introduction. He's going to be the last guy I'm going to introduce, but next to him, Giants fan, Cousin Joe at JoeJ_Clark, the master of Joe Knows. Joe, what's cooking?
Oh, Joe does certainly know. Hey, everything's going really well, guys. We released Tennessee Titans episode today, and tomorrow I'm working on the Kansas City Chiefs, so that'll be tomorrow. And then Mike and I are in discussion to knock out the Broncos this week, and in discussions to knock out the Raiders as well with Rich. So everything is going really smoothly. I'm enjoying doing it. It's all the content's coming out really well. And I'm learning a lot doing it too. So it's getting me prepared for other concepts that I, you know, will be coming up with down the road. So that'll include all of you. It's gonna be a lot of fun for the viewers.
I like it. And we're gonna have to pick your brain tonight, man. Talking about this
not
news.
Too many,
you and Justin. Justin
not,
and
not
you,
too
you
many,
guys. Have, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not too many brains to left to pick. Coach, I'll give you what I got.
You and Justin have toured the NFL this offseason, so you guys should know a little bit of everything. But all right,
you
so
next, like sideline reporters at this point.
That's it. So that's the titles. We're gonna have to get some media credentials for everybody. All right, next to Joe is a first-time guest, one of the newest members to Toilets to Titles, Crocodile Campy, Andrew Campy. Justin's gonna throw his Twitter handle on the board here below. But Andrew came on the team. He's been a big help. He's an IT guy. He's helping us design a little something. We're going to be releasing on August 1st, so keep your eyes open. That's a little bit of a tease. Andrew, what's happening, man? How we doing?
Yeah, no, not too bad. So it's, it's quarter to 11 in the morning here, so it's like so bizarre speaking to you guys talking about, oh, I'm just going to go grab a beer, and I'm like, I'm just finishing up my second coffee. So it's a bit too early for the beers, especially, you know, Monday morning. I've got a lot of work to do this afternoon. So, but apart from that, good to just jump on and chat. So I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we're sort of now actually, like, it feels like football's almost back. Now the teams are going to training camp. I'm like, it's starting to feel like the wheels are moving a bit. It's been, you know, the off season just always seems too long, but I'm just so glad that the season's actually starting to roll around.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And Andrew, you probably got a lot of work to do this week. It's Monday out there in Australia, even though it is Sunday night here in the United States. But you probably got a lot of work to do because you've been working very hard with this Toilets and Titles project. Do you want to discuss it just a little bit?
Oh, look, you know, wait and see. Well, we're only 4 days away, aren't we now? So, you know, like it's, yeah. We're doing some cool stuff behind the scenes, though. So it's, right. Yeah.
It's, Andrew, don't let them open the presents early, Andrew.
Yeah.
Man, it's not early, though. It's Monday, so we're actually going into the future to open the presents. Yeah. You know, it's Monday, I'll tell you.
Don't let the kids in the attic find the presents.
That's it, man. That's it. All right, great. Well, everybody, I'm happy to have you all here. Like Andrew said, it does feel like we got some real stuff happening. Like, we got training camps, we got news, we got action, and it's definitely lifted a veil. You know, like, that's my kind of my off-season mode, you know what I mean? Just kind of pushing through. Now it's time to sit down and take it all in, because this is the stuff we football junkies love. So let me do some more quick little notes here. You guys can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Spotify. We got two Facebook pages, the Toilets and Titles page and When a Family Breaks. Please hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. Greatly appreciated. That really helps us out. If you enjoy our content, I'm telling you that helps us more than you can know. Also, if you do not mind, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, throw us a 5-star Apple review. And take a picture of that. Send it to us. If it's something funny, regardless, you send us that 5-star review, you'll get one of the final 9 Frankenstein spots. If it's a really good review, we'll give you a free entry. That's what we'll do. Here's some more ways to get in. We now have a Patreon account. Patreon.com/ToiletsAndTitles. Tier 1, $3 a month. It gets you into the group chat. Tier 2 is $5 per month. Gets you into Frankenstein. Gets you into the group chat. Gets you early access to our waiver wire episodes. And finally, tier 3 is $10 per month. Gets you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody in the Toilets and Titles family. And this family is now 12 people big. So you got a large room to select from. It gets you free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, which is $25 value. Gets you into the group chat and early access to the waiver wire episodes. Frankenstein is a 36-team, 3-12 team division, 3 copies of each player. It's vampire-style format with a twist. There's 9 spots available, and I did say earlier, the first person to comment on this live stream, it's got to be live, hashtag Frankenstein, gets a free entry. So if you're listening live and you're not yet in Frankenstein, that's another plug. There's no reason you shouldn't get in for free, because you could just put that in there, hashtag Frankenstein. And again, that's $25 value and 9 spots, man, so get in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. All of us are going to be in it. We got a lot of friends of the show in it. And we really look forward to playing with you. And we're going to start that on August 1st as well. We're going to get that ball rolling. So we've got a few things coming down the pipe early August. But I think that's enough for formalities. And I want to get straight into this NFL discussion. Again, we're going to be doing this every Sunday until the start of the NFL season. We're going to get you all caught up. And we'll still be doing our fantasy content. Joe will still know. Justin will still work on his team breakdowns. We'll be doing some bathroom breaks. So you'll have all that and more. That's the reason why you should hit subscribe and like, because you'll be able to get all of that. All of that is free. All right. So Cam Akers, everybody, he is injured. He is out for the season. I'm going to just throw that out there. Whoever wants to jump in, give me your thoughts on Cam Akers.
My thoughts are that he's out for the season.
True. That's a good one. That's a good way to start, Joe.
Yes, hey, getting up past that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I will say,
go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was going to say that I'm pretty excited about Darrell Henderson's opportunity. So a lot of guys don't realize the dude averaged like 10 yards per carry in college at Memphis. The guy is an incredible athlete. He's a really good running back in his own right. His stats were pretty close to that of Akers whenever he had the opportunity last season. And they were both kind of alternating being hurt. They were never healthy together. So I'm not 100% certain that this coaching staff was completely ready to just completely hand over the reins, full workhorse load to Akers to begin with. And now they don't really have much of a choice but to give it to Henderson unless they sign somebody off the street. And even then, I'm not too overly concerned. So give me all them Henderson shares.
Yeah, when this all broke, man, I was so busy. I was upset when I got back to the hotel because it was picked up everywhere. I mean, if he wasn't picked up already, so it's like I got no shares of it at all. So I think in general, I mean, look, you don't want to see this happen and everything, but look, it's going to be more clear now for fantasy purposes wise of having that one true running back with not the threat of having someone right behind him and everything. Now, unless someone comes out of nowhere in training camp, I mean, this is his backfield and nobody's getting part of it. If my point of view and stuff, I think this kind of makes a passing game a lot more appealing. I mean, Stafford was already appealing with Woods and Kupp, but now this even makes it even more, maybe even props up the tight ends a little bit more.
That's a good point. Those are good points. I like that.
Yeah. I definitely think it helps.
Adds certainty.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I was going to say, just piggybacking on Rick, when Rich says, especially his first point, it definitely offers clarity. You know, just for me, like I've said it a few times, on the team behind the scenes, that I'm not a big guy, huge believer in the Rams running back core, to be honest with you. I don't think there's a huge difference between Cam Akers and Henderson in terms of like the quality of the play that they bring. But yeah, and there's always some nervousness there that, listen, you know, they could be really like splitting a decent amount of snaps, but you know, with Akers being down. Same thing if Henderson had gone down. You know Akers is getting, you know, all the snaps, but if he's down, Henderson's going to be getting he'll be getting the ball like all the time now. So it really clarifies things. I think that's a positive. Yeah. Offers. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm already nervous and hesitant about that Rams backfield to begin with. You know, prior to Akers going down, I'm still a little hesitant. I like what Rich said about I think it increases Wood's stock. I think it increases Kupp's stock. You know, I think Stafford's going to be thrown for a few more touchdowns because they're going to get down into the red zone. He's more likely to toss it in than they are to run it in. So I'm buying Woods. I'm buying Kupp. I'm buying Stafford. I'm not nervous about what that offense is going to do. I'm just nervous about that backfield. So, You know, and then also I'm seeing this week on the waiver wire, there's some Rams running back I've never heard of before who went for quite a few dollars in a few of my fantasy football leagues. I can't even think of the guy's name, but people are, I mean, tis the season for reaching, right?
You're talking about Funk?
Yeah, the undrafted free agent from last season, yeah.
What's his name?
Funk.
I can't remember his first name, but it's Funk. Yeah.
Well, with a name like that, you really, that's the only name you need to remember. So, yeah. Does anybody know anything about this Funk cat? Is he worthy of a pickup?
Nah. Nah, Darrell Henderson, baby. Workhorse all the way.
We'll see how training camp goes.
I think I have Henderson ranked pretty. I lowered him two spots on my ranks list today just because I know that most people aren't going to be as high, so I can still get him a little later. But let me see if I can find him here where I have Henderson.
Hey, heck, I mean, now he should be going up anyway just based on opportunities alone.
17. I have him 17, and I had Akers 15. So if that tells you anything.
Yeah. I think I moved him up to 24. But it could be the season of the Memphis running back. We got Gibson. You know, we got Henderson. Mm-hmm. What about Gainwell? Gainwell could possibly take that job from Miles Sanders. And then you got Pollard backing up Zeke. Zeke looks good, but I think they both can play. This is, you know, we got four Memphis running backs who could be doing work. They're like a running back factory now, so – keep your eyes open for that Memphis running back breakout.
And you know what? I've been a really big fan of Gainwell myself, so I wouldn't be surprised just given Sanders' injury. He's really sort of seen more as like a third down back, I guess. But I think this guy, he actually does it all. He can protect the quarterback too, and I think he actually can be – I don't know if over the course of an entire season, if he can be a number one running back, but I think he's got the ability to be that number one running back, at least for a decent period of time. I like him a lot.
He pushed Gibson out of the backfield at Memphis. So I mean, they liked Gainwell over Gibson. So that should say a little bit. You know, they're not NFL coaches; they're college coaches for a reason. So But still, you know, they thought enough of him to play him over Gibson and play Gibson outside. All right, let's move on to Aaron Rodgers. It seems sports books are prepping for what everyone's saying is Aaron Rodgers retiring. I believe they've kind of dropped all of the teams in that division. You can't bet on their over under win total. And what do you guys think? Do you guys think that Rodgers is really going to retire? You think he's going to be traded? And I heard that his agent was Carson Palmer's agent. And Carson Palmer did this move where he retired and then came back a year later, forced a trade. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think that's what we're going to see Aaron Rodgers do. I think we don't see him play football this year. I think everything's geared for that for him. I don't think he's going to be showing up to any sort of function that the Packers have. I think he's going to make a statement. I think we see Devontae Adams make a statement next. And then I think we see full on like pitchforks and torches and people in Green Bay until they have that management out of commission up there. But I think, yeah, I think we do see something like that, like maybe a year off Jeopardy host. He'll enjoy that for a little while, being on TV and everything like that, probably making around the same amount of money. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to be our new Jeopardy host.
Man, what do you guys think? Everybody else, what are the thoughts?
No, man, look, what does Green Bay have to lose on? They're going to have to trade him. I mean, what's the point of letting him retire and sit down and not get anything in return? I mean, you do that, I mean, you're telling Green, I mean, they're just going to, just like I said, throw pitchforks at him. Not only that, you got to get something back in return now. If you know this is to the point where it's going to get to that point, look, get what you can, get some players in return and stuff like that. If that happens and then next year Devontae Adams leaves, I mean, man, fan base is just going to go crazy over it. They got to do something now to make sure they could stay even keel with the fans.
His contract doesn't void if he retires. That's something to remember. So if he's going to retire and he's going to take a year off to host Jeopardy, which, by the way, is in no way a huge bump for Jeopardy. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but there's no way anybody's going to be able to fill Alex Trebek's shoes. Nobody.
Right.
So, but anyway, I just had to throw that out there. I love that dude.
And then, wasn't there some kind of thing where if he retired before the 1st of July or something like that, he didn't have to pay back his signing bonus or something along those lines?
I think it was actually like June 12th. But yeah, it was something like that. Like it wasn't just that too. It was also they could trade him after June 12th and be able to not pay him his sign-on bonus as well. Then the other team would have to pay. So everybody was thinking it was going to happen after June 12th anyway. But what I was getting at though is if he retires, go host Jeopardy, and then he comes back into the NFL, it's still up to the Packers to decide his fate. So it's not like Andrew Luck where the Colts just pretty much said, hey, you know what? We're going to let you keep your money. We're going to let you do your thing. You helped us out. You played well, whatever. Move on. Now if Andrew Luck comes back, he can go to any team he wants. They just kind of trust that he wouldn't. So if Rodgers did that, like I seriously doubt that the Packers are going to pay off the contract to let him just go. So it would be more of a Brett Favre situation where they're going to trade him out of division or out of the conference if they're going to trade him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't mean myself. Like, I don't see, like, how why would the Packers even hold on to him at this point? I get it with the fan base. He's popular with the fan base. But he wants out. Like, what can they possibly do right now to make this man happy? He wasn't happy last year. His unhappiness got McCarthy fired. And, you know, deservedly or undeservedly so, whatever, you know, McCarthy was gone because Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy. The guy has been happy for a long time. The guy's been around for a long time. He wants to win another championship. I guess maybe he feels like he can't do it there. I get it. As an individual, you want to – you're at like kind of like the end of your career. You kind of want to give yourself, I guess, the best shot to win a ring. I guess he doesn't feel that way about Green Bay anymore. But why keep an unhappy relationship together? And I would think as a fan, me and myself, like you root for the jersey, not the player. And it doesn't mean that you love management, but – you know, things have to come to an end. And if he's not happy, I'm not going to have a guy sitting around for a season, you know, doing this retirement thing. You've got them talking about like, three first round picks for this guy, or at least two first round picks. And if Devontae Adams wants out too, you know what? Hey, start your rebuild. I'm all about rebuilds myself. Joe knows is a big lover of rebuilds. And, you know, Green Bay, you've done an awesome, you've had like great quarterbacks for 30 years. So maybe, yeah, Denver, you know what? Denver, is a hot team.
Come home, man.
But here's one team. I know Coach and Andrew, you don't want to hear this. I don't want to see this either. But why is Washington's name not associated with trading for Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
I mean, talk about a team that's ready to, I'm not saying they're necessarily ready to go to the Super Bowl, but man, it's like Aaron Rodgers could possibly do it and do it this season. Realistically.
Yeah. No,
they have the ultimate pirate.
He's the what?
I said they have the ultimate pirate in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
I love Fitzpatrick. So
they're good.
But he's Aaron Rodgers.
I just think would skyrocket.
Go, Andrew. What were you going to say?
I feel like if Rodgers was going to retire, he would have done it before that June 12th date because it affects him financially. I feel like if he'd made the decision, I feel like it would have been done before then. That's my gut. So I feel like he's sitting here. He might say, I'm going to take 12 months off, or he's going to try and force a trade. I just find it really hard to believe that he would have cost himself millions of dollars by just choosing to delay his announcement. But as Ben has said previously, you know, these bookies generally don't get it wrong too much. There's a reason they make lots of money. So, you know, whether or not they've got some inside information or they're just covering their bases, you don't know.
Yeah, could be off-season talk, but why keep a guy around who's not happy anymore?
Yeah, let's just
That's what they do. Sorry, Justin, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, let's just hope he goes to Denver. It'll help my fantasy teams out.
There you go. Listen,
why keep a guy around who's not happy? This brings us to the next segment, and this is on Deshaun Watson. There's rumors he might be going to Philly. But we want to talk about ownership messing something up. Why? You know, they didn't get rid of Watson when he was worth something, and you know they knew all this garbage about Watson and the massages, right? They could have traded him before that stuff came out, and now they waited for it to come out, and now he's worth nothing. Or his value has to have been cut in half. So you think Green Bay messed it up? Houston messed it up even worse. You know, and supposedly – so he's expected to ride to camp. He's going to be at the Texans training camp. He's not wearing a star in his helmet, so Goodell isn't riding his jock trying to get him suspended a la, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. But that's a whole other story. Deshaun Watson might play. He might not even get suspended. But Watson to Philly – possible. He's going to training camp. What do you guys think?
Anybody want to tackle that one?
I'd like to say, come home, Deshaun Watson. Come home. if Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to, just anybody but Drew Locke. That's all I'm saying right here.
Yeah. I mean,
that's going to be my sales pitch every time we talk about a quarterback that I like more than Drew Locke. So we can bring up anybody basically in the NFL. Brandon Allen, come home, buddy. Come on home. Come to Denver.
I've never seen a team so completely blown up from the inside, like an old building on a construction site demolitioned, like the Houston Texans. And I don't say that lightly. Any Texans fans watching us right now, I'm not making fun or anything. It's sad to see the talent that they've given away, that's walked away, and now who knows what's going to happen with their, you know, like top three quarterback in the league. With Deshaun Watson. I'll just say this, you know, remember too, I mean, in terms of what the front office knowing this and knowing that too, you know, who knows? I don't know, but you would think that they probably would have unloaded the guy if they were aware of this situation. But then again, now that I think about it, it would have been hard to without the rest of the public knowing why they were trading him. I don't know. It's a tough situation. I don't know if I'm a team.
You wanted out.
I mean, any other team, I'd be worried about taking him on. I'd be worried about taking him on.
I have a bit of a theory, but it's completely just my own. It's not based on anything that's actually legit. But my theory
is conspiracy theory.
Yeah, conspiracy, complete conspiracy theory. So the NFL is all about parody, right? And I don't know if that's the right word, but where like they want to keep everybody even as much as possible, right? So they want to try to equalize the NFL as much as possible. They already feel sorry as hell for the Texans, and they can't afford for the Texans to be this bad for this long. So my theory is they're letting him come back just to open up that ability for them to still be able to trade him. Because if he's suspended, he can't be traded. He's locked in. And if he's suspended for a year, he can't be traded for a year, right? So suspended without pay, it doesn't matter. Like, they have an asset that they could get something out of him for that they can't do anything with. The NFL is all about doing the right thing as much as possible anyway here lately, especially with punishments weighing down on people for domestic violence and things against females especially. And like, this is a pretty big issue. This is 23 counts, or it was 24 and one dropped out or something like that. And I mean, something has to happen here. They have to come down on him, and they're not yet. There has to be a reason. That's my theory why.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him in the temple pole. I was hoping your theory was going to be that he was the one on the grassy knoll in Dallas in November 1960. This was even easier.
You're the history guy.
It's really funny, though, when you think about it, because, like, it sort of feels like really, like in this day and age, we've really progressed that point where we get information nearly immediately. And so, you know, you look at it and go, okay, so back when it started with one case and then he stood up and said, I'm going to fight this. I'm not dealing with this. And then it was like, oh, okay, well, this is one case. And then all of a sudden it's ballooned out to 23, 24. And you look at it and you think, it seems like a high number just to be like, you know, these people holding a grudge. It sounds like there's something more to it. And you sit there and go, either there is something more to it, which it looks like is the case, or the other answer is this guy has copped the worst thing in his life at the worst possible time. Because as we said, you know, he had so much value that if he kept pushing for a trade, eventually you would think Houston was going to do it. But now there's no value. So if you're Houston, you might as well hold on to him, sitting there doing nothing. It's almost the complete opposite of Rodgers now, isn't it? Because Rodgers, if you trade him, the value is there. But Watson, what are you realistically going to get from anyone?
The funny thing is, Justin has a theory. I have a theory. I think Houston pushed this news out. I think Houston ownership responsible.
That's very possible. Very possible.
You know, and how dumb is that? Trade him first, get rid of him, and then sully the guy's name. What are you doing? Like, that's and this goes back, this ties into the Rodgers thing. These owners are, you know, old dudes with a lot of money who don't want their toys to be given away, and they'd rather see those toys rot in their closet than go be played with somebody else. And that's just selfish, and that's not practical. And you know what? They made all that money. I guess they don't have to be practical with their toys. But I still think it's stupid.
Well, you know? As a Colts fan, I think the only thing that would make it better is if, and we're going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins in a minute, but if he were still with Houston. That's the only way that this would all make it any better.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe if he were there, maybe Watt would still be there too. JJ, if DeAndre were there. I hear you. But I'd like to point something out too, and it sounds ridiculous because you're talking about 24 counts, and I am not trying to make light of anything at all. I'm not saying to disbelieve anyone at all, but I would just like to make the point about innocent until proven guilty. And that's not really so much a public opinion thing. That's really more of a legal and justice system thing. I would just like to just bring up real quick. I'm a Giants fan. DeAndre Baker was facing last year charges of attempted robbery at like a friend's card game in his house or something like that, where he and Dunbar, I think the safety, like the cornerback or safety from Seattle, Quentin Dunbar, where they had been alleged to like hold this entire party up at gunpoint, and then they skedaddled out the front door, and it made no sense to me. People can be idiots. They can do stupid things, but it sounded kind of fishy to me at the beginning. And of course, instantly the stories come out like, Giants, why did you draft this guy? And he has red flags. Really, his worst red flag, and it wasn't a good one, but compared to this, it was like an orange flag, was falling asleep in meetings last season. Now there's red flags, and then there's red flags. Falling asleep in a meeting is not armed robbery. And as it turned out, and soon after that, his attorney showed video from the house, like house film video footage, whatever, security camera, him and Dunbar like in a car waiting for like 10 other cars to go ahead of them. You know, they weren't rushing anywhere. And I thought it really made no sense. One person doing it, like Baker is one thing, DeAndre Baker, two NFL players doing it, it sounded stupid. Anything's possible. And as it turns out, you had this attorney going around getting these people at that. It was basically a setup. And so charges were eventually dropped after a few months. And I think they're going after the attorney to basically who was like, you know, trying to getting people to, you know, agree on the story. And they were going to basically blackmail the two players. I'm not saying that's what happened with Watson.
Did
I'm just throwing it out.
Did the NFL?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there in terms of, you know, innocent until proven guilty. This is public opinion that we're talking about, though. I'm not saying people are lying. I'm just throwing it out there that something to just keep in the mind. You just something
the timing
to keep in
is a bit uncanny for a situation not to be thought of at least like that. You know, I mean, you like there should be no scrutiny for thinking like that because, like I said, I mean, the timing of it was very odd, and
it
I mean,
was strange. It was.
I mean, and if they knew about this, why would they do what they did? And there would be no reason for it. I mean, so kind of with Joe on this. I mean, if this guy did this, let's hang him to the wall. Let's do what we got to do. Let's do, you know, let's get justice done. But let's make sure that let's make sure it's real before we do too much on this.
Yeah,
guy.
I want to see justice done. Don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure that, you know, it's not rightful. like if this goes to jury, that it's, you know, if he's found guilty, it's because he's guilty, not like some political, not just like, you know, pressure, you know, so. It's a horrible situation. Horrible, you know. If he did that, and he most likely did, you're talking about 24 women saying this. You know, it's ridiculous. But we'll see what happens. I was just throwing that out there.
Joe, you said that held them up at gunpoint, and then you said skedaddled out of there. And in my head, I'm seeing like Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam, you know, shooting bullets in the air and then skedaddling. Yep. That's, you know, I've never heard. You know, held up at gunpoint and skedaddled in the same setting.
Hey, I write my own stories. But you look at the security footage from that guy's house where they were at this party, and you'll see him in Dunbar in this car just like sitting there in a line of like five cars, you know, with security, you know, like checking the cars before they go out. They're not racing off anywhere like in a Lamborghini at 360 miles an hour out of someone's driveway, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't like playing Grand Theft Auto. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Deshaun Watson, that's the thoughts. Let's move on to Michael Thomas. Here's a knucklehead who could miss 12 to 16 weeks, which puts him out till about October. I feel like he just that dude. I don't know, man. I'm so over Michael Thomas. I am so over him. I don't want any shares of him in fantasy football. And I used to be such a big fan of his because he's, you know, just he reminds me a lot of Terry McLaurin. They both excellent route runners, big guys, good hands. They just get the job done. And I just don't know if he likes playing football, to be honest. What are your guys' thoughts on Michael Thomas and this untimely surgery?
Yeah, the train on him has left, man. I am so far gone from him. I won't even touch him in any leagues, which I do have some shares on, and I hate to say that, but now I'm going to have to scramble and see what I got to do. I mean, luckily I got some good backups and everything, but look, this is going
to
be a lingering injury.
You must listen to Toilets to Titles.
What's that?
You must listen to Toilets to Titles if you got yourself some good backups.
Yes, I do. I listen to you guys every day, every five episodes a day. So yeah, back at it. Like I said, look, I'm away from it and stuff like that. And now it just really scares me on any of the same players and stuff like that. Cause who's going to, when he was out last year, nobody really stepped up. I mean, it was Kamara. I mean, that's the only person you want to have shares of right now. Hopefully Winston's playing. I hope he's a starter when it goes off. And those are only two I would even touch, and maybe not even Winston anymore now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Winston getting another shot with Sean Payton as his head coach. I really am. I'm excited for him.
I have a fair few shares of Michael Thomas from last year. And then it was a really weird season for him where he had the injury and then he missed other games from punching a teammate. And up to that point, I was kind of thinking, you know, look, maybe this is just a weird year for the guy. So I was kind of bullish on thinking, okay, his value is pretty low now, so I'll hold on to him and then hope that he goes back to doing what he's done in the past. And then all of a sudden this happens, and all of a sudden I'm very much getting Antonio Brown kind of vibes. I feel like it's, you know, that Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver who's just got something in his mind that's just not there. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
I feel like it's just it's too late to jump off the ship now, isn't it? It's like if you've got him, you might as well hold on and pray that you get something back, because it's, you know, now's not the time to sell him, because what are you gonna get?
It's like Deshaun.
Well, that's the bad thing about it, you know, from last season, you know, his value was so good this year where he was going in drafts. You felt like you had to jump in on him because of where he was getting drafted, late second round, third round, depending on super flex or not. But the value was there, so you had to go after him and everything. And now all of a sudden this happens, and it's like, man, you know, it's like you just got tricked into drafting him and everything. Now think about next year. You know, he's going to drop into the fourth round, maybe late third, fourth round and everything, and we're going to all be jumping in on him again, doing the same thing next year, and hopefully he can prove us wrong.
And it'll be with Sam Howell or Spencer Rattler at quarterback, because the Saints are going to stink this year. The Saints will pick top five. I think, I just think it's a disaster waiting to happen. I think. Yeah. What's that?
I was saying I'm rooting for Jameis, but I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't bet on it, but I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. So I'll want to go ahead. What was that, Joe?
Go ahead. He changed his mind. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm sorry. So Andrew brought up in the chat, which I think this is a good news tidbit, and I'm going to have to you all are going to have to direct me in the chat, because my internet now I had the doc up earlier and it hit refresh like an idiot, and I have no internet. So now my news doc is completely gone. So I'm off script. Kadarius Toney, Joe, what are your thoughts about him? And what it looks like there for Giants camp.
I just saw the comment in the private chat. Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about him. I am sick and tired of hearing about Kadarius Toney. I am, and it was what on draft night when they first picked him. I think me, like most Giants fans, there were a handful that were excited, and there were a handful that were just flat out like, "What?" And me, I was kind of like, "What?" And then I thought about it a little bit I'm like, you know, he could be a good fit in the offense. And I think it was more of like me, like instantly selling myself on the pick. And I was always intrigued by his talent. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't necessarily want, you know, I probably would have wanted Bateman or Elijah Mitchell if I'm going to go wide receiver at 20. At that point I probably would have taken Tevin Jenkins actually. And I wasn't like so keen on taking an offensive tackle or guard like at number 11 if they had stayed there. But Toney, I'm like, this guy hasn't done anything nefarious yet, but man, it's like you can't get out of your own way. It's like he's not necessarily looking for trouble, but this guy has been a magnet for just bad news. And what stinks about, like, you know, between draft night and today, like we've seen with Cam Akers, that any news that comes out is bad news. There is no good news to come out in the NFL. That's why if your team is quiet, your players, your draft picks, there's no news, that is good news, because nothing good can happen right now. And Kadarius Toney, I'm not declaring him a bust yet, but man, I am just sick and tired of hearing this, it's always something with him already. And I just have a feeling it's going to be like that for the rest of his short career. That it's going to be one thing after another. Hopefully I'm wrong. We'll see. But listen, I just got a bad taste.
Who is Citrus Ogre? No, who is this Citrus Ogre?
No idea. I thought maybe it was your wife.
Citrus Ogre. I like the name.
Number one fan for coach.
Yeah, see,
I cut out, I think.
See, I thought maybe it was your wife because it
– Can you hear me? Or maybe that was just yeah. –
No, we can hear you.
Well, all right. I'm going to move it on. Oh, that would be an interesting name for her. No, that is not my wife's name. But maybe she created an alter ego to rep for me, which I appreciate that. I appreciate you, Citrus Ogre. Keep listening. I really do appreciate that. Joe, you said there's no news.
If they like you, they would love Carolina Chris. I'm just saying.
They would love Carolina Chris. Joe, you need to link up with him for the Panthers episode of Joe Knows. But Joe, you said
I have every intention of.
You said there's only bad news out, but I have some good news. Joe Burrow was fully cleared. Oh wait. Hopkins is pondering retirement. So that we'll talk about Burrow a little later, but that is good news. But anyway, Hopkins is upset with some of the stuff that the NFL is doing right now. We're not going to get fully into that. Let's get into the discussion, though. Do we think Hopkins is for real? Do you think, you know, he just got a little upset, tweeted something out real quick and retracted it? Personally, I think Hopkins ain't retiring. Dude loves football. He's a phenomenal athlete, and he's going to keep playing. What do you guys think?
Let me go back and delete that tweet real quick.
He's got AJ Green on the other side now. They've got a great quarterback that, I mean, it's lining up for him to actually be on a good team, and he's not used to that. He doesn't know what that's like. He's going to want a taste of that. So there's no way. This is just him venting, and it would take an extreme a player with some extreme political views to want to retire over COVID, whether it be getting the shot, not getting the shot, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. None of that matters. You would have to be extreme to give up all that money, all that fame, all that hard work that they've put in to get to this stage, and especially for a guy like that that needs and deserves a winning season.
Yeah, well, this guy's always been a distraction in the locker room, and what got him kicked out of Houston in the first place.
That's
so
right.
No, I'm just kidding. Man. Hopkins loves the game, man.
Am I talking about the wrong guy? Did I put the what?
Yeah, no, but that's why Bill O'Brien got rid of him, because he was such a locker room distraction. And I feel like it was kind of like one of those, like, I imagine that's what Hopkins did. Like, you talking about me? Like, and yeah, no, that was the main reason he got sent out of there. Yeah. Real quick, guys, I'm going to make a draft pick here on our Jolly Roger League.
We got
some drafts. We always have drafts going on around this thing. I'm kind of torn up on a quarterback or a running back, but I'm pretty sure I got to land on it because Zach Moss is still available. I hate to break it to everybody in the league. We're going to go ahead and just grab him right now.
Before you do that, Zach Moss guy. Mike, is it too late?
It's not. Nope, I have not pulled the trigger.
Okay, because before you do that, I have to say, earlier in the draft, I wanted Carson Wentz bad, and you took him the pick right before me, right? And then a little bit later, I thought Anthony Firkser was going to go another round, and you put in the chat, is this tight end premium? And I knew what you were asking, and I went ahead and told you yes, and you took him before my pick. And then the last round, I was thinking Jalen Waddle. No way he's going to go Jalen Waddle. And I had to take Nyheim Hines because you took Jalen Waddle. So I tell you what, I just took Devin Singletary to shore up that backfield. So you better not take Moss, you son of a bitch.
Such a thief.
Oh, I love it.
Thievery amongst
friends. I love it. I had no idea. I was
someone ever so
wonderfully on this draft. This is my complaint. He's had 26 out of 28 picks, I think, and he's mad. He's mad that I took the other two players.
I have all those picks because I knew the structure of the league, and I had a plan last year and went into it trading off all my picks and all my decent players just to get all these draft picks for this. So, like, if you went through what I had to go through last season to earn these picks, you would be excited about them too. But fortunately for you, it looks like you're going to be going through that this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, but it looks like it's going to be. Notice I'm showing up on quarterbacks. I'm getting a lot of depth.
Yeah, I feel bad. Go ahead. Take Moss. I'll just steal him from you when we play.
Right. You'll just take him when I start him.
All right.
What's the news topic we got here?
Wait. Real quick. I'm sorry. On Hopkins, just two things. One, what? So they got AJ Green, right? That's not the one I'm really excited about. He's being paired up with Rondale Moore. That is something to be excited about, seeing those two going together. And number two, with the with COVID and the vaccine, I mean, I wouldn't, I highly doubt he's making, it's not a political decision on his part, but I think he, like many people, have concerns about the vaccine, especially since there's a decent chance that, well, possibility that the stuff is man-made. So, there's a lot of people have, I think, a lot of fair questions in how they want to handle things for themselves and their family and their kids. So, I hear where he's coming from. If he's got, I don't know about all of his concerns, but I know there are concerns out there. I get it. And so I don't want to see him retire. But I get you, DeAndre. I get you, buddy. Anyway, moving on.
All right, I think Andrew's got to go to work. Andrew, We are blessed to have had you on this episode, man. We look forward to that big release coming out in a few days. Cowboys Nation was strong in the building this evening. I'll rep hard for you for the rest of the episode, all right? I think you're muted. I think you muted yourself.
Rookie mistake. Thanks for having me. Lots of fun.
All right, appreciate it.
Take care, Campy.
Take it easy, man. Have fun at work.
Good seeing you, man.
All right, so we had Anthony Miller next, which I think we could touch on slightly. Anthony Miller gets traded to Houston. He's going to be competing with Brandon Cooks, but I think Brandon Cooks will be more of the vertical threat there, and I think Anthony Miller could do the intermediate work, you know, and then that also leaves Nico Collins to be the chain mover. So I think they could all work together, you know, over the top, you know, intermediate, move the chains. I think all three of them can see a little bit of action. And you know, it depends on who's throwing them the football. I liked Anthony Miller, another Memphis guy. Maybe tonight's a Memphis episode. I loved him coming out of there, man. He's a scrappy dude. I also really liked Sterling Shepard coming out of Oklahoma, and he didn't pan out. Joe knows him very well. Just I like those shorter receivers, scrappy tendencies, good hands, yak, yards after the catch. So, but with Anthony Miller, I got to see it. You know, I got to see him take a step before I really even – consider this big news.
Yeah, same.
I was excited about my Kiki Kuti shares that I was getting for dirt cheap all off season, and I'm thinking I'm no longer too excited about those anymore. So
Kiki Kuti sounds like a guy who might skedaddle
often. No? Too, like, at least once a day he skedaddles at some point.
What's the next bit of news here, Justin?
We got Adam's extension talks coming to an end, which we kind of already touched on a little bit earlier with the whole Aaron Rodgers talk and everything. But yeah, I think this is just him pissed off at the situation. I think he already knows, just like the bookies do, that Rodgers isn't going to be there this season. And if at all cost, he doesn't want to play for the Packers. So that means Adams is ready to get out just as soon as he can get out as well.
Can you imagine Rodgers and Adams being traded as part of a package deal? What,
Rich, you're going to welcome him up there, man?
He'll be coming to Vegas. Adams to Vegas, Rodgers to Denver. I'll go that way and stuff, and they'll get to see each other twice a year.
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty neat.
You are not ready to give up on Derek Carr, are you?
He ain't going nowhere, guys. He's not going nowhere. He's a top four QB in the league this year.
This year?
This year.
And if we're talking about interceptions.
I'll take that bet.
Hey, real quick, though.
I'll give you top 10.
I know we touched real quick on the trade with Chicago and everything with Houston, but I want to go back to that trade real quick. I know it's the offset, but I want to throw this out there. Look, from the Chicago side and everything, look, they got rid of Mooney. They got rid of Miller because they have Mooney there. You know, they drafted Daz Newsome and everything. Okay, they just signed Jesse James to a one-year deal and stuff like that to bring in another tight end and everything. And I see that going other ways. Is it saying that maybe Graham don't got it no more, or they're bringing in another? Or what are they saying as far as drafting more tight ends to run more 12 personnel sets because they're going to have their rookie QB in there starting the season and everything? You rather have that kind of a setup and everything going forward for him so he has more closer targets closer to the line and everything. So I did want to touch bases on that real quick and just throw that out there.
Looks like Campy has a fan. Just
Andrew Campy
on and says that Campy was great. So yeah, hopefully we can get some more Campy on here. I don't know about more Cowboys fans. I think we have enough of those. All right, so we lost John here, so we're gonna move on to the Chandler Jones. He's unhappy about his contract. He's requesting a trade. I'm gonna step away from this one because I don't really know a whole lot about this situation. Does anybody else know about this situation?
No, yeah. I wasn't really familiar, but I'm a big fan. If someone wants to be traded, trade their ass. I don't know. Okay, so you root for the jersey. I get tired. Nothing against players. They think they have legitimate reasons for wanting to move on for. Maybe they're a little older. They want to win a Super Bowl already. They want to go to a contender. Not happy with ownership, whatever. But I don't know. I'm a big believer in someone wants to move on, move them on.
Hey, for what it's worth, I don't want to be traded. But if you guys choose to, can you please send me to, like, Tampa or Miami?
Yes. Come on down to Tampa. We got plenty of room for you, buddy.
Oh, I forgot you were here. Let's block him out from – I don't want him to hear this. I don't want him to hear what we're talking about over here, okay?
I forgot that Mike was in Tampa, so, yeah, let's definitely make it Miami.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll cover both shores. Visit each other on weekends. I'm good with this.
Coach, what are your thoughts on Chandler Jones?
Man, I think Chandler Jones – I feel like he probably wants to win a ship, and I'd like to see him go somewhere, you know, that could, you know, help some team get over the top. You know, it ain't going to be Tampa, you know, okay, maybe the Colts. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, who's the team that could use him? No, the Raiders aren't going to use him. Who's a contender that could use some defensive help? The Broncos. All you guys are like petitioning for Chandler Jones as if I'm his GM and I'm the one who's going to make the trade.
When you said contender, Mike pulled his finger down.
Give me Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. We'll talk. But with Drew Locke, we're not. We're not there.
Hopefully,
the Ravens use him? Could the Ravens use some Chandler Jones? He seems like a Raven.
He needs to go to a team that's on the cusp. And I think there are quite a few going to the, being Super Bowl contenders. I definitely think the Ravens are up there. And I think the Colts could be up there, too. I think those are two good destinations for him.
Ravens have definitely jumped into the top since this has been brought up. So
That's the one. Tennessee, I was talking with a friend earlier. They had Clowney last year, and they brought him in late. Yeah. Clowney's not there, so they have an opening at that spot. I was trying to think of the team. So Tennessee is the team I think would be a real good fit for Chandler Jones.
Buffalo, too, needs pass rush help. They focused on as I was covering my Joe Knows Buffalo Bills video, which happened to kick off the whole new Joe Knows 2021 draft class series, they drafted Gregory Rousseau. And who was the other guy? Off the top of my head, I'm forgetting. But they drafted back-to-back defensive ends, first and second round this year. They needed pass rush help. That was a decent defense, but not enough pass rush. And same thing with Tennessee as well. No, Gross Matos, I think, was last year. And was he Bills or was he Panthers? But anyway, he was last year at Gross Matos. It was another guy, Carlos Basham, Boogie Basham, was who they took in the second round. So it was pretty good talent in those two rounds, but they need help at pass rush. So Chandler Jones would be a good fit there in Buffalo or Tennessee.
Hey, John, welcome.
Yeah, I think that comment was for you.
You didn't miss the Cowboys talk, baby. I think we're talking Cowboys next, if I'm correct. Right.
He wasn't even here, and he has a great segue.
Nate might be a slightly better pass rusher than myself. He stinks. Nate's throwing zingers out left and right, man. Nate likes throwing dirt on people.
He's right, though. Nate is right. Nate speaks truth.
All right, Cowboys training camp. So the buzz coming out of training camp, Kellen Moore was talking. And he stated that last year they didn't want to put too much on CeeDee Lamb's plate because of the limited offseason, so they kept him in the slot. And this year he's stating he's going to move him all around the offense and he's going to have fun doing it. Right now he's getting a lot of reps all over the offense because Amari Cooper's out. And Amari Cooper is probably likely not to practice while they're in Oxnard until they get back to Dallas. So Amari Cooper's working on the side. DeMarcus Lawrence is working on the side. And CeeDee Lamb is making plays all over the field. But another player to watch, a player who's getting a lot of buzz, Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz looked really good today, man. He made a bunch of plays. Dak is peppering him with that football. Blake Jarwin is slowly getting introduced back into the offense because he's recovering from an injury. So there are signs that they're going to use the tight end, but Dalton Schultz looks good, man. So that's the Dallas Cowboys news coming out of training camp. What do you guys have any thoughts on those?
Yeah, Blake Jarwin's just taking it slow and easy right now. He'll be back, baby. Don't worry. He's just letting Schultz keep his spot warm.
I agree. Yeah. I love Dalton Schultz, man. I'm with you. Like, I love me some Dalton Schultz action.
I think the Cowboys have two legitimate number one receiving options fantasy-wise, and I don't think you go wrong with either. I'd probably be more inclined to go with CeeDee, even though Amari is the proven veteran. But CeeDee Lamb, I think he's going to have an explosive year, and it all, how they handled him last year totally made sense. I think it's smart, and he still produced very, very well. So I think it's all systems go for him. I think he's going to have a huge breakout year, CeeDee Lamb in 2021.
I like it, man. I like it. Micah Parsons also, he's getting reps all over the defense if you play IDP. He was going to get you points from everywhere. He's rushing off the edge. He's playing middle linebacker. They even had him take some snaps with defensive tackle today. So that's something to be aware of.
That's a guy I have every single IDP league. I have Micah Parsons. I'm pretty excited about that guy this year.
And that's all how right, they were talking about him, too. They were saying that he might be able to, you know, he could possibly rush him off the edge, too. He can rush him from everywhere. So besides being that thumper in the middle of the linebacker core.
All right, let's finish off with the Joe Burrow news. Joe Burrow was officially cleared for training camp. Joe Burrow is full go. So that offense is ready to take off. So what are you guys' thoughts on Joe Burrow?
Start getting all your players for Cincinnati ready to go, man, if he's ready.
Yep.
I mean, it just raises everybody's stocks with him being full go. So, like I said, you know, Mixon is going to improve his stock now that Burrow's fully healthy. I mean, it improves the receivers, everything. So, you just want to have a little share of everybody on that team just to see what kind of do. If he throws like he did last year and everything with the weapons he has now, probably going to be a lot more efficient too. So,
hey, does somebody have an open window? We're hearing some chatter.
Yeah. Hearing some chatter. It sounds like TV chatter. Yeah, but, you know, Joe Burrow, coach, you proved me wrong. You're absolutely right. There actually was some good news, and that's great news. I'm really happy to hear that young Joe Burrow is, you know, he's got the clean bill of health and he's ready to go. I love him so much, and I'm so glad that, you know, the Bengals have him. They can use a guy like that, like a real, like, face of the franchise, true young star in the making. I like him a lot, and to see him with his good paired up with his good buddy, Jamar Chase. It's going to be fun to see. I'm excited for them, but that is great news. Good for him. You know, good for the Bengal fans.
Are we buying Mixon?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, it's starting to creep up.
I like Mixon.
The question isn't why not. The question is why.
Because he's the workhorse.
More well-rounded offense now as well.
If you're worried about that ball. If you're worried about the injuries, then you may as well be worried about the injuries for everyone, because everybody.
I'm not worried about the injuries. I'm just worried about the guy finally paying out on the stock that he had coming into the NFL. He hasn't done shit.
Well, yeah, we're not buying him in at a first round rate, but we're still buying him. I mean, if I can get him early in the second round in redraft, I'm going to buy him right now. I have him in a dynasty league. I'm not going to sell him unless I get something decent.
I'll tell you this. Cam Akers going down pushes Joe Mixon up just by, you know, one less running back available.
Right.
Yeah. I know Burrow coming back. I was never a huge Mixon guy myself, but, you know, he's definitely in my mind. He's going up. He's going up my list of running backs.
Yeah, I already had Mixon over Akers anyway.
Yeah, I would have too.
By two spots.
Does he look like Tarzan, play like Jane, or what?
Good possibility.
Yeah, he's kind of short for a Tarzan.
We'll see. Speaking of people who look like Tarzan, should I wrap this thing up now, Justin, or what?
Well, I do want to say, guys, the off-season breakout episodes that I've done, the one that has the fewest views are the Bengals. So if anybody out there is watching this and you want to really hear what Mike Watt, the play-by-play announcer for the Cincinnati Bengals during the offseason and the backup play-by-play announcer for the Bengals during the season, if you guys want to hear what he has to say about Joe Burrow, you probably need to go check out that episode, because he had some pretty interesting thing to say. But what I will say is that today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family, including us. We're part of that family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content.
Wow, that was really good, Justin.
Whenever your internet went down, I started practicing it in my head over and over and over.
All right, well, hopefully, if you're listening at home, First off, if you're a Bengals fan listening at home, it's embarrassing that your team has less views than the Houston Texans, so you need to get on this. Second off, I'm sorry if the sound quality for this episode on my end wasn't perfect or great, but I had to make some adjustments, call some audibles due to the weather in my area, but at least we were able to be together and talk about some NFL news, even though all wasn't positive. I feel positive. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I feel good about this, man. The world is right. Football's right around the corner. The gang is here. We're going to be dropping episodes, videos. Joe, when's the next Joe Knows? Who's coming out next?
One a day for the most part. Today was the Titans. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. Every night there's a new video, and tomorrow night will be the Kansas City Chiefs.
And a couple days ago, he had the Colts on there, and he had a really gorgeous looking guest on.
Out there, handsome guy.
Yep.
Debonair. Justin, when's your next team breakdown?
Tomorrow night, actually. Tomorrow night, I have the Miami Dolphins, I believe. Let me double check on that. So I forgot to. So I think it's like 8 p.m. tomorrow night for the Miami Dolphins, and we're gonna have Justin from the Father Son Pod, George Reed, the recurring guest from Break from the Grind, and good friend of Mike's there, and then of course Big E Berg, Ian Berg, the fan of the year for the Dolphins a couple years ago. So pretty good lineup. Tomorrow night's episode is gonna be pretty awesome, actually.
We have another fan of the year on our podcast in Mike D. Dirty Jobs. So he probably – we should have them link up. One fan of the year.
That's not a fan of the year, buddy. That's number one fan overall. Overall, that's not an annual thing. That's just until I die, I'm the number one fan.
Number one fan, but he stood up through the Broncos episode, so he had to come on the Bills.
Justin. Are you having Miami Mark on that episode?
On that episode, I don't think I've got room for Miami Mark. But I tell you what, just from the looks of it, I could probably use. Let's see, where was it? I could probably use maybe a Saints Steve or a Rams Randy Rams or something like that. And then of course, I don't know. Arizona Andy, maybe.
Arizona Andrew. Yeah. What about Arizona Allen? I got a guy. I know a guy, Arizona Allen. All right, enough chit chat. If you probably have no idea what we're talking about. And I just got a cramp in my left leg. So it is from running this morning. And I need to stretch this bad boy out. So anyway, it's humid up here in New York. And the lightning is going crazy. And I'm trying to keep it all together. I appreciate everybody being on here. Every Sunday until the start of the NFL season, we will be doing roundtable discussions. We'll be talking about all the news. Hopefully somebody in the chat just put in hashtag Frankenstank so you can get a free entry into our Frankenstank Listener League. And if no one did throughout this episode, which I don't think they did, the first person to DM me hashtag Frankenstank after listening to this gets a free entry. So there you have it. And that means you had to have listened to the whole episode. And if you listened to the whole episode, we appreciate you. So we're all checking out. We'll be checking up with you all week, going through all the news and recording more episodes. We appreciate you. Take care. Enjoy your week.
Everyone, take